Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Gopi Jana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Guntarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm sorry, I have to find it here. Chapter 13? 13? 41? Is that it?
Yes.
All right, now I have to find it. Okay. Yes, chapter 13:41. Oh, hard to say. Chai mayam rupam idam cha sokaram. Bhumandale nata datta jite nate. Chakasti shringoda ganena bhuyasa. Kula chalendrasya yataiva vibrama. Chai mayam rupam idam cha sokaram. Bhumandale nata datta jite nate. Chakasti shringoda ganena bhuyasa. Kula chalendrasya yataiva bibhama. Mayam rupam idam sachokaram. Bhumandale nata datta jite nate. Chakasti shringoda ganena bhuyasa. Kula chalendrasya yataiva vibrama. Chai mayam rupam idam cha sokaram. Bhumanda tanata tenate. Chakasti shringam gadagini nabuyasa. Kula chalendrasya yataiva vibrama. Chai mayam rupam idam cha sokaram. Bhumandale nata datta jite nate. Chakasti shringoda ganena bhuyasa. Kula chalendrasya yataiva vibrama. Chai mayam rupam idam cha sokaram. Bhumandale nata datta jite nate. Chakasti shringoda ganena bhuyasa. Kula Chalendrasya Yataiva Vibrahma. Jai Mayam Rupam Idam Cha Sokaram. Bhumandale Nata Data Dritena Te. Chakashti Shringoda Ganena Bhuyasa. Kulachalandrasya Yataiva Vibrahma. Okay, we'll do the word for word. Chai Mayam. Vedas personified. Rupam. Form. Idam. This. Cha. Also. Sokaram. The boar. Bhumandalena. By the earth planet. Ata. Now. Data. By the tusk. Jatena. Sustained by. Te. Your. Chakashti. Is glowing. Shringa Urdha. Sustained by the peaks. Ganena. By the clouds. Bhuyasa. More glorified. Kula Achala Indrasya. Of the great mountains. Yata. As much as. Eva. Certainly. Vibrahma. Decoration. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, as the peaks of great mountains become beautiful when decorated with clouds, your transcendental body has become beautiful because of your lifting the earth on the edge of your tusks. Purport. The word Vibrahma is significant. Vibrahma means illusion as well as beauty. When a cloud rests on the peak of a great mountain, it appears to be sustained by the mountain, and at the same time it looks very beautiful. Similarly, the Lord has no need to sustain the earth on his tusks, but when he does so, the world becomes beautiful, just as the Lord becomes more beautiful because of his pure devotees on the earth. Although the Lord is the transcendental personification of the Vedic hymns, he has become more beautiful because of his appearance to sustain the earth. Om Agena Chamananda Shaganjana Shalakaya Chakshulamitamena Tasmai Sri Grave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapanantatam Vanchakabhajurvyascha Kripasandubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanyebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namaste Girirajaya Sri Govardhana Namane Ashesha Kleshanasaya Paramananda Daine Vrindavani Vrinde Vishvapujita Pushpasaranandani Krishna Jivani Vishvapavani Tulsi. So this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're hearing these prayers of astonishment, you could say, of these rishis, of the sages who saw the appearance of Varaha. And Varaha himself is an astonishing appearance from the very beginning to what he has done, his activities. And we've heard these sages giving a lot of absolute truth to the incarnations of the Lord, how the Lord appears, what he represents, how everything is within him. But here, yesterday's verse and today's verse, we're hearing about a specific quality of the Lord, and that is his quality of beauty. And so, oftentimes, what is the one word that Srila Prabhupada oftentimes uses repeatedly throughout this section and whenever he speaks about Varaha, What's the one word he uses to describe him? That, yes. It starts with a T. And it's a very long word. Transcendental. Very good. What is your name? Ananda Mohan. Hare Krishna. He's transcendental. So when we think, you know, when I think of a boar or a pig or a hog, we have different, each of us will have different conceptions based on where we've been. Like in La Crosse, we have a pack of boars that go all over the place, and we see them quite often in the fields. And we have one friend who lives in La Crosse who has quite a collection of these boars that just run wild in his acreage. And you know, yeah, they're not beautiful. They're not beautiful. And then of course, Srila Prabhupada, he's writing this, and whenever he speaks of the Sokaram Rupa or the incarnate, a lot of times when he's deriding somebody, he'll use like the hogs or the dogs who eat stool, right? So those hogs and those dogs are not beautiful either, and we, those who may have visited India, and when there's open sewers, and you often find those hogs, and they're very ugly. But this hog, this Sokaram, this Rupa of this form of, that Krishna has decided to perform a particular task that only this form could do. This form is described much differently. This form is, and for us, and you know, I'll speak for myself, it's still, after many, many years of hearing the Varaha pastime, and just a couple weeks, actually, Varaha, his appearance day will be observed. And yeah, it's sometimes it's hard to make that this form is beautiful, and we have artists who've done their very best to make a very beautiful form of Varaha, and but still, when we think of beauty, sometimes we think, "Well, boy, a description of Krishna's beauty, I can get it. I get it when I see Radhe Shyama Sundara, Krishna Balaram, Shri Gaurinitya. I get it. I can see the beauty there. But a hog." How do I see beauty in a hog? Even if we, you know, what's, I think there's a saying, you know, dress a hog and no matter how much a makeup is still a hog. So we're being challenged here. This is a challenge. And why, I believe this is the first detailed description of an avatar in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Sukadeva Goswami is presenting. They've given summaries of all the different incarnations a couple times in the first and second canto. But here is like a detailed description. And when we want to think of something beautiful in the world, almost the last thing we think of is a hog. But here, not only is his form described as being beautiful, but everything that he comes in contact with becomes beautified. So that's certainly transcendental. And so to see transcendentally, we need to change the way we see things. Because right now we're seeing with our two eyes, or sometimes four eyes, and you know, we're seeing everything that we may have seen, because we're ranking things. It's very hard for us to hear of like Krishna being described as unlimitedly beautiful. Can we even conceive of what that unlimitedness is? Because we're seeing something. Well, I like this. I like to look at this thing, and I don't like to look at this thing. So this thing is obviously better. But then, is there something better than that, and better than that, and better than that? But again, I'm still looking at it with these material eyes. What gives pleasure to this lump of matter that has within it ingrained likes and dislikes and preferences? So how do we come to the stage where when we see the Lord, because these sages, they're seeing, they're seeing with transcendence. Not only are their vision transcendental because they have purified themselves sufficiently, but there's the Lord himself who is transcendental. We use the word oftentimes incarnation, but that's not the best description, because the English, you know, origins of incarnations means to of flesh or within the in the flesh is incarnation. But Krishna doesn't appear like in a flesh, in a body like ours. He comes in his own Atma Maya. He comes in his own form. And that form is completely bereft of any material consideration that we have become very accustomed to seeing and relating to with these eyes. So when we see even the form of Radha and Krishna, we're seeing transcendence, but how much are we able to get there? And so I wanted to speak a little bit about this and the vision. How do we increase our vision, and at the same time be able to see, as Prabhupada is encouraging us here, how to see everything as beautified by him. So deity worship is our easiest correlation, because we have the form of Krishna, we have the form of Rama, Balaram, and Radharani, and Gaurini Tai. We see them, and we can relate to, oh, they are persons. And we will decorate them as well. We will offer them everything we have. So you could say, what we're decorating them with, you know, may not be super costly, although it is best if we do have something very costly to offer them. But in reality, a lot of times the deity, there's, you know, plastic jewelry or crystal jewelry. They're not diamonds, they're not all pearls or something. But what happens to them? They're being engaged in the service of decorating the deity. And so the material itself becomes beautiful, and the deities, of course, they become beautiful as well. But then I remember when first starting deity worship, way back in the early 80s, the person who was teaching me, he said, "Oh, you have to learn this verse, Prabhu," and I did at that time, but I don't remember the whole thing. But the last line of the verse, "Param Padam Bhushanam Bhushanangam," that when we're serving the deities, we should see this, that he, she, they are the ornament. And the ornaments that we apply, that they beautify those ornaments, not that I am applying something to beautify the Lord, but the Lord is already transcendentally beautiful. And so that's the mood when we approach the deities. And I remember, you know, in the youth and not being very good at it, you know, I would tend to put too much, thinking that, oh, that's not enough, I got to put more and more and more. And then, yeah, you lose sight of the deity. So it takes expert. We have expert pujaris in our midst who know the fine line of to bring out the beauty of the deities, and at the same time use different objects, which again we hear by this philosophy of these sages, this is their energy as well. So the whole material energy is the energy of Krishna, aham sarvasya bhava, everything here. Everything is of him. And so in this pastime, we're seeing that he is touching the earth, and he's elevating the earth, and the earth becomes glorified by that. And then Prabhupada says something very wonderful here. He says, when he does this, the world becomes beautiful, just as the Lord becomes more beautiful because of his pure devotees on the earth. So there's this reciprocation, this inherent reciprocation between the Lord and the devotees when they think about each other. So as the Lord is thinking about the devotees are always thinking about the Lord, and they're thinking, okay, what can I bring to Krishna to glorify him, to beautify him? Not that he needs beautification, but it's still an act of service that the devotee does. And Krishna reciprocates. So again, going back to the train of thought that I was thinking of, that we're seeing this form of Varaha, and we're being told it's beautiful, and we may say, well, why didn't Sukadev just tell us something I can really relate to, like to a human form, a human body? Because if we can't see that Krishna is able to be transcendentally beautiful in any form, then we'll have a tendency to project ourselves on the form that we perhaps most relate to. So if we are only thinking of Radha and Krishna, which is a very elevated topic, and we think, okay, I am like that. I am like that, and therefore I can be like that. That's where those who do that, they get into trouble. But here, Sukadeva is starting with this form, this Varaha Leela, and all the nine cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam are presenting different wonderful and amazing incarnations of the Lord that are quite extraordinary. Here, we're starting with Varaha. We've heard in Nrisimha, we hear Hayagriva, and we hear Matsya, and we hear all. And if we can't come to the stage of understanding that Krishna he is transcendental, and he can appear in any form, because this Angani Yasa Sakarendriya, but he can manifest himself through any part of his creation, and anything, he can do anything. Just like when we contemplate, well, Varaha held a club. How did he hold a club? His hooves. I mean, how can you hold a club with hooves? But he does, because Anga Niyasa Sakarindari Bhantimandi. He can do anything with any part. And so we're introduced very gradually, and we have to come to the point of appreciating Krishna and his transcendence. That he can do anything, he can appear in any way he wants. And so, I mentioned earlier, this is a challenge to us. Can we appreciate the beauty of Varaha? I mean, I think I've only seen one deity of Varaha in my life, you know, and I know there are probably many, but, we have a friend in the community who has a deity of Varaha, and it's like, oh, okay. But, you know, Am I like, okay, if I'm going to establish a deity, am I going to, that's my first choice, Varaha? So these are challenges to us. But as we become more attuned in Krishna consciousness, as through our hearing and chanting process we become purified, we start to be able to see Krishna more everywhere. And we can see with that vision, aham sarvasya bhavava, and as Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya discuss, in stavaram jaganam deki, na deki taramurti, sarvacha hoy, ishtadeva spuriti, that the devotee will see everything as a manifestation of Krishna, a spuriti. Spuriti is a manifestation. So there's this Varaha spuriti, this manifestation of Varaha, pure transcendental. And the devotee will see Varaha, and he'll see their own Ishtadevi, the Ishtadeva within that form. Just as, and Prabhupada gives very simple examples in this, to this verse, in different places when he speaks about it. He said, just as when a parent would see the shoe of their child, even the child doesn't even have to be living at home anymore. But if within the house, you know, you're digging out an old closet or something, and you, oh, here's an old shoe. And then immediately the parent doesn't see the shoe, the canvas and the rubber, and but the parent sees their child immediately. This is the energy. This is the energy of this was, you know, part and parcel of my child, and I see that. And so the devotee, they'll see in everything Krishna's manifestation, Krishna's spuriti, their worshipable Lord. And so that's quite a stage. I mean, because I see marble, I see black and white marble. I don't automatically see Krishna Balaram. But as we become more and more purified, we'll be able to see like that. That's one of our aspirations when we're asking for that vision. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa. When will my eyes be able to see Krishna in everything? And not in everything, but also in Krishna. When will I see the form of the deity and see him as Krishna, see her as Radharani? When will that happen? Because Prabhupada also gives very stern warnings that if you consider him stone, he will remain stone to you forever. But if you don't, if you see there is Krishna, there is Radha, there is Balaram, there are Gornitai, then they will reciprocate with you. And there are so many examples of this. Madhavendra Puri, he had that reciprocation directly with Krishna and the deity. The deity spoke to him in his dreams. Go, I'm very hot. Go get me some sandalwood. And goes to get the sandalwood, and he's carrying the sandalwood, and then he's thinking, all he's thinking of, how can I serve my Gopal? How can I serve my Gopal? And he stops in a place, and they're serving very nice sweet rice, famous sweet rice. Oh, I would love to have a little of that so I can learn how to make it for Gopal. Oh, what have I done? And then he dreams. You know, Gopinath comes. Oh, I've hid you something. Just come and get it. And so the devotee with this vision, I mean, and Krishna reciprocates with the devotee. The devotee, they're not seeing stone or wood. Wood, the Daru Brahman, Jagannath. Jagannath also may be very difficult for some newcomers to accept. This somewhat, you could say, somewhat crude depiction of a person. It feels bad even to say that out loud, but some may see Jagannath like that. And even the drama that was written about Lord Jagannath, it was that mood was kind of brought out. That when they first saw the forms of Jagannath, they said, "Oh, how wonderful!" But then they started, "But I never thought he would be like this." and then Jagannath comes to Indradumna in a vision as well. And again, the poetic license was taking this verse from Uddhava, the Param Padam Bhushana Bhushanangam. That I am already the ornament of all ornaments. If you like, you can give me ornamented hands and legs and so that you can relate to me better. But know that I am already the ornament of all ornaments. And so, and then in Dudumna, he was like, oh, yes. Then they saw Jagannath. Then they really saw Jagannath. And when Lord Chaitanya sees Jagannath, he is not seeing what I may see. He is seeing Shama Sundari. He is seeing Krishna on the chariots going with great, great eagerness to see his residence of Vrindavan. That's what he's seeing. And so these visions, so this is all focused on the vision of the Lord and seeing the Lord. But then, as this verse is pointing out, everything in relation to the Lord becomes beautiful as well. And so for that I wanted to bring a Bhagavad Gita verse, Yo Mam Pashanti. And I have a little forest in the backyard, and I like to go out. We go back out there and chant our rounds a lot. And but it's, you know, I'm like walking away from the deities in the house. So how do I feel going out into the forest? And so I have this a sign with this verse posted on it to remind me that Yo mam pashyanti sarvata sarvam cha mayi pashyati tasyaham na prayishyami sa cha me na pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor are they ever lost to me. So when we have this vision that Krishna is everywhere, and Prabhupada says so wonderfully in the purport, such a person may appear to see all separate manifestations of the material nature, but in each and every instant they are conscious of Krishna, knowing that everything is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. Nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. That is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we may think, oh, to see Krishna everywhere, that's very advanced. No, he said this is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness, is to see that Krishna is the source of everything, and I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. So when we see like that, then Krishna is never lost. And we may be stuck in a traffic jam, or we may be stuck on a bus or somewhere, but still the devotee is seeing everything as much as possible. And then when we do see the Lord, and we bring something yellow, that this is the perfection of offering something yellow. This is the perfection. The yellow may be out in the world, but the perfection of that is to bring an offer to the deity. The perfection of crystals or beads or whatever is to offer them to the deities. And Krishna comes specifically just to attract us in those ways. So it was a short purport. I have a little other thing, but if we have any... actually, I wanted to ask, how do you see Krishna? Do you have instances in your life how you are seeing Krishna everywhere as well? And how has that helped you? If anybody would like to share something like that. Yes, I kind of see.
Hare Krishna. Two things I can think of. Sometimes when things go very differently from how I expected, but comes out better, then I try to think that Krishna made some change because he wanted something different. And same time, also if things go exactly as planned, and they come out very well, then I try to think that it's because he's given his blessings and his inspiration, so it went the way it was supposed to. So like either way, it's Krishna, trying to sing it that way. that too, that he wants me to learn something.
Yes, Matsuji, in the back.
I have a little pastime that happened with my Didi that really helped me to see Krishna as a person. So I was in India, going to South India for Ayurvedic treatment in Kotakal. So we took a plane, and I used to carry my stone Didi of Gopal in a bag, a special bag, so we won't break. So I don't know how I did this, but with the rush of getting the things and everything, I forgot my Didi on the plane. And in India, if you forget something, forget it. So I still, you know, reported the loss, and I say, oh, this is finished. And we couldn't enter the Ayurvedic hospital right away, so we had to wait for 2 weeks. And during these 2 weeks, I was, like, overwhelmed with grief. I was so much worried about that Didi, what was going to happen, if somebody would break it, if somebody would just throw it in the garbage. Or I was so worried. And then I realized how Didi is really a form of Krishna that is responding to your love. It was a great, and actually they found my Didi, and they called me, and I got my Didi back about 2 weeks after.
Wow.
But these 2 weeks were very intense.
And did you ever lose him again?
Oh, no. Oh, no, I'm so careful now.
Yeah. Separation makes the heart fonder. Yes. Sorry to make you walk so much.
Hare Krishna. I don't know if it's the right way or the best way to see Krishna in this way. We're like, I have to go to college for my classes, and what they teach us is from very, like, how you see the world from your material eyes, how do you perceive the concepts, and like how do atoms move, and like how does calculus work, and this and that. So like initially I used to get really frustrated, but what's the point of learning all of this? But, like, and one day some Prabhuji told me that, look at this as if this is all the Brahman aspect of Krishna. Mm. So it's a way of appreciating Krishna. My frustration for studying those things decreased, but I don't know if it's the right way to see Krishna in that way.
Well, Prabhupada, and right now I'm listening to the 72 lectures in order, and this is when he's having a lot of morning walks with his scientist disciples, and he says science, what has gone wrong there is that they think that these things are happening outside of Krishna's control, and they're studying. But he was very enthusiastic to see his disciples, who were scientists, show that, okay, this is how the science works, but it can be understood as set forth by either the glance or by the action of Krishna. He activates those, he is moving those atoms by his influence, by his energies, because Parashya Shaktarva Vadaiva Shrite, Krishna has multi-energies, and part of that energy is this material nature and how it's moving, and so Prabhupada often would say, we're not even a religion, we're a science. We're this is the science of Krishna consciousness. And so to understand this, you know, of course, the Srimad Bhagavatam helps us. There's so much detail, especially in the third canto, of the description of the matter, where it's coming from. And then as you're learning, you can try to relate to that. Okay, yes, this is a manipulation. I'm doing these two adding things, but where do the chemicals come from? Where does this come from? This you could always keep within your heart and your mind that, yeah, I'd like to understand it, because, yes, Krishna has set it up in such a way that we are observing these things, these changes. Sometimes we observe many things that are directly out of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. So as you're learning science and, you know, the chemicals and the interactions and all the forces of nature that act upon each other, you can see that ultimately that is being driven by Krishna, either directly or oftentimes indirectly. He has put forth the different demigods in charge of each element and each thing, and then he has the modes of material nature, which is a nice mixing pot of things that we see so many varieties. And just yesterday I heard that Prabhupada was saying that we see so many varieties. It comes from the three modes, just like you have red, yellow, and blue. And you mix those, you get six colors, and then nine colors, you get 81. You keep mixing, and you get all the different forms. And so it's very scientific, but we also always understanding aham sarvasya bhavavad, that everything is coming from Krishna. Everything acting and in this world is but a spark of my splendor, he'll say, or is acting under my direction. These are the things. But so it doesn't negate that we can put a formula and see how Krishna arranged it. That can be done, and that's science. But the fault is when they think, oh, I have created this, or this is created by chance. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing. Otherwise, science is... That's part of Sankhya philosophy, is try to understand matter, try to understand spirit, how they interact together. That's part of our process as well.
Right. And like when we refer to Bhumandala, mandala is usually referred to something flat. So this is why, like, I still remember in my high school, one teacher challenged this. Like, at that time, I did not have that scriptural knowledge, so I could not reply him back. But he always said, where does it say in the Bhagavatam or anywhere that earth is round? Oh. It says that earth is, usually how they refer to in the verses, it's like earth is flat, like this is flat, that's flat. So
yeah, even our picture of Raha has a round earth, right?
Yeah, it is.
So there are expert scientist devotees at the Bhaktivedanta Institute, and they probably can explain this much better than me, that because I'm not a scientist in the least. I didn't do good in school. So, you know, this is my science classes at least. But those details we can get adequate answers from those who are really, really good at those subjects. But on the 10,000 foot level, when you look at it, we can see that this is Krishna's energy, and he's interacting, and we're, you know, this is Krishna, this is the external energy, the body, but we're his internal energy, the soul, and somehow we're acting and reacting, and there's so many things just in this little scientific experiment that we can observe and see. You know, when I hurt this, then I feel hurt. Oh, or if we're in a car and somebody hits the car, oh, you hit me. You know, it's just where all these things are interacting becomes quite as you start to see the source more, that, oh, you didn't actually hit me, you hit my car, that's just my energy or an energy of mine. Similarly, when the body is hit, oh, you didn't hit me, I am different. So these are scientific, these are advancements that you can help better understand those things. So when you see it on the very widest platform, that, you know, how the material nature is working, we attribute that to Krishna's energies.
Hopefully.
Pran Govinda.
This chapter, 13 chapter, mostly I find greatness of God. So it evokes submission. But to have a relationship, there has to be affection. Maybe I'm missing it. In Nrisimhadev's Leela, there's 10 chapters in 7th canto. There's a greatness, how powerful Hiranyakashipu was, and he's subdued by the Lord. I mean, what more powerful can... Mm-hmm. So that submission evokes naturally. But in relationship, when Tamahar Prabhu was giving class, he was mentioning three incarnations are more prominent than all other incarnations according to Rupa Goswami Pad, based on Parabhastarup in Sanskrit they call. Because the relationship based on actually affection more, sweetness, that in Varahadev maybe I'm missing, but I don't want to, I'm trying to see philosophically in order to see practically. Otherwise, it will never happen spontaneously in my heart. Yeah. I know that.
Yeah.
So philosophically, I'm trying to see this is a greatness, but am I missing the sweetness? I'm not trying. Maybe you can help me. I'm not finding it. In Nrisimhadev's case, when Nrisimhadev was licking Prahlad Maharaj's body and head, just like a father to a child, of course, as a lion, you can say that's how they do. As a human, we don't do exactly. But something evoked in his heart, Lord's heart, I want to experience what Prahlad is experiencing. And Rupa Goswami Pad writes that the Vatsalya Ras began from there. So the Rasa, he is the source of the Rasa, Vatsalya Ras, parental. In Varahadev, maybe I'm missing. Maybe, I'm not sure.
Yeah, and again, that's a challenge for us. But again, if we go back to Ramananda Roy's, you may even see the Ishtadeva Spuriti, your Ishtadeva, those who you do have affection for, naturally, you may see, you see them in that, the other thing. So not only would you see them in a tree as a manifestation of their energy, but certainly you would see them in the form of the deity, and you would see them in the form of their incarnations of Rama, Nrisimha, Varaha. Actually, just to very quickly and to bring in Lochan Das Thakur. Prabhupada, when he sings Parama Karuna, he riffs a little bit. He adds a riff. And Avatari, Avatari, Rama Nrisimha Varaha Kurma, Avatari, Avatari. It's not in the song, but Prabhupada adds it. So it may be another, but it's a way to see that Parama, that our Parama Karuna, our Nittai Gora Chan, they are the avatari. All the avatars are coming from them. So if you see them, you should naturally see Gauranga. And similarly, whatever Ishtadev that is in your heart, you'll see them everywhere. I remember I had worshipped a set of Radha Krishna deities in Boston for some year, many years. And when I moved to Giranagari, I thought, okay, Mother Kalini kind of engaged me a little bit in the service of Radha Damodar. But it was very hard for me because my Ishtadeva was in Boston. And so I would dress Radha Damodar, and Kalini and others would say, You don't, they look like Gopi Bala, but you can't do that, So it's, but for my vision, it was like, okay, I get to dress Radha Krishna again, and I'm thinking Radha Gopi Bala, but I'm there in front of Radha Damodar. And same with Madhavendra Puri, he's thinking of Gopal when he's doing the bathing of Gopinath. And so similarly, as we mature our vision, this Ishtadeva Spuriti, this Jagannam Deki, as we can change our Deki, our vision, to see our Ishtadeva, then, okay, oh, how wonderful it is that he has appeared in a boar. And I imagine this is what these rishis are experiencing. that, oh, he's appeared. Imagine coming as a boar. You come a perfect, I mean, he had to come down into the Garbhadak. You know, what better form than somebody who's naturally digging in the ground to pull up the earth? What a natural form. But wow, it's amazing. He came, you know, and again, then of course it's all transcendence. I mean, can I say that I've ever experienced complete transcendence coming through these eyes? And so we try to do that. And what's that other story of Narada and the cobbler? And he says, you know, it didn't faze him. Oh, what's my lord doing? Oh, he's threading a needle with an elephant. Oh, my lord is so wonderful. I mean, if we kind of think about it, if we scientifically think about that, we think, that's crazy, you know? It's either one big needle or one small elephant. But this person, his vision was such that, oh, how wonderful my lord is, that he could do that. He can do it. And he can appear as a boar, and he can appear as a fish, and he can appear in Navayovanam, and you know. But that's what our hope is, that we will see like with that vision.
Great. In tomorrow's purport, Prabhupada brings in the point. Well, the verse describes how the earth is the wife of the Lord. And he goes further in the purport to say that the material nature cannot produce living creatures unless in contact with the Supreme Father, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's a definite loving exchange and a provision for our own sustenance and nourishment for all living creatures on this earth and the planet itself.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, the follow up.
In the ninth chapter, Krishna says, "Fools deride me when I descend in my human form." Mm-hmm. So, like, why did he just say human, not animal?
Because well, they're fools too, but.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean.
He did not specify. Why is that like?
Well, because he's speaking as Krishna. He is Krishna in his human form, and they're saying they won't listen to. They deride me. They think, well, oh, how can he appear as a human even? Mm-hmm. You know, we you know that's one thing. You know, again, that's what I'm saying, that if we only thinking that Radha Krishna, we're going to think, oh, Radha Krishna, they're like me, I can enjoy like them. But we never think like, oh, I'm going to enjoy like a hog, right?
Yeah.
So we're being challenged to like, okay, he's transcendental, he is above. If we're not able to see the transcendence in Krishna and all his actions and all his aspects of creation, then when we see Radha Krishna, we're going to think, oh, that's also material. If we can't see that that's a transcendental thing. And it's more dangerous because, oh, I have a male body or I have a female body, and therefore I can, oh, it's just like that. No, we have to, we're trying to, this is the step-by-step progression of Srimad Bhagavatam to bring us to that point where we can become fully realized. Prabhupada states that in the very beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam introduction. It's systematic in such a way that once, if you go through this and you realize this, then when you get to the time, then you won't have any like, oh, yeah, they're like a human form like me. And so that protects us. But of course, Srila Prabhupada is so merciful that even in the beginning he gave us Krishna book, but his explanation constantly, he'll constantly remind us in those purports and in those descriptions of those most wonderful pastimes that it is not like a material relationship. There's not a pinch of the lust. And so again, as we're seeing, and we're, you know, if I look at today, even today, I had to prepare a little bit, and I'm thinking, okay, how do I see Varaha? Still, when I think, you know, do I see Mayishtadev, or do I see the Supreme Person? You know, I'm still, it's like, yeah, it's a challenge, you know. And so we continue, we pray, and we hope. I wanted to bring one little, we can end with this wonderful little appreciation by Bhaktivinoda Thakur on the transcendental position of the Lord. And it also ties in with this somewhat mysterious statement Prabhupada says that the earth becomes more beautiful by the presence of his pure devotees. So Bhaktivinoda says, "Oh my dear Lord Hari, all things contained within this universe are by nature bound up in the limits of material time, place, and circumstance. But you, dear Lord, are not subordinate to any such limitation or even to scriptural injunctions. Indeed, all rules and regulations are trembling in fear of your lordship. It is naturally impossible for any kind of law to be equal to or surpass you. For your transcendental position naturally transgresses all reactions. You possess the supremely independent nature, and thereby you conceal yourself behind the powerful curtain of Maya." So he appears, and he does things, and can we really appreciate? Our eyes are seeing the curtain often, and we're not seeing his transcendence, that he is not subject to the laws that we're subject to, that we relate to, and we, when we think of this, or when we think of that, we think of our experience. Despite this veil of Maya's illusions, my dear Lord, your pure unalloyed devotees have the ability to see you. Indeed, wherever they turn their eyes, they see your original personal form there. Ishtadeva Spuriti. They're seeing it. They're seeing his original form wherever they turn. However, and this is, you know, for us, this Bhaktivinoda is very fallen and is completely bereft of unalloyed devotion. But he has one hope. He has considered the dust of your devotees' feet to be the sole essence of his life. So in the association of devotees who have this vision, who have this Stavaram Jaganam Deki, Tara Murti, if we associate with them, they can help us along that path. And just because of their presence on the earth is become, I mean, just think of Alachua without Radhe Shyama Sundar. It would be so drab, wouldn't it? It would. But because of the presence of the devotees, and Prabhupada says, it's his 50th anniversary coming up, he said, a devotee desired a temple in Vrindavan, and then this temple become manifest. So by the devotees' desires, this wonderful temple is manifested, and it's like a shelter. It's a spiritual world. And so those, when we see Radhe Shyama Sundar, when we see the Spanish moss or the manifestation of Krishna's energy outside, we think, oh, this is Radhe Shyama Sundar's manifestation. So I've gone over time. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.